Welcome. My name is Jennifer Olson, and you are joining us for the new Executive Leadership Summit. I am delighted to be joined today by such an accomplished, intelligent, passionate business leader and entrepreneur. It's my pleasure to introduce Teresa Cizurek. Teresa Cizurek, PhD, is one smart woman. She is a serial technology entrepreneur who holds an MS in operations research from Stanford University and an MBA and PhD in business administration from the University of Colorado. After climbing the ladder in a Fortune 10 company, she put her immense talents to work to transform a startup into a thriving firm that, when sold, went for over $40 million. She then went on to become the CEO of Technology and Management Solutions, LLC, where she, as a certified management consultant, helped organizations and individuals succeed by aligning their passions with their purpose. Teresa has consulted with many emerging and established companies to re-energize workforces and produce extraordinary results. An awarded business leader and speaker, she wrote the Amazon bestseller, Pursuit of Passionate Purpose, which outlines her proven step-by-step formula for success. In addition to her consultant company, Teresa is currently the co-founder and CEO of Radish Systems. In her volunteer life, she works passionately to help build the self-sufficiency of working women through the local, state, and national entities of Business and Professional Women, also known as BPW and its foundation, and the Colorado Women's Education Foundation. So now that I've given our listeners a bit of an overview, Teresa, it would be so great if you can take a minute and tell us about who you are personally so we can kind of get to know that the real you.
Wow, thank you so much, Jennifer, for having me with you. And I feel like I am maybe a Renaissance woman. Mm-hmm. I've moved from being an engineer to a product manager to a entrepreneur to a management consultant, and back now being a serial technology entrepreneur in my business. But I'm also a mother, a wife, a volunteer, a philanthropist, and someone who is just continually trying to grow and learn. I'm a learner, I guess.
I love that. And, you know, just looking at your accomplishments and all of the things you're doing, I would completely agree. You are a Renaissance woman. So could you give us just a little bit of an overview of your two businesses and what they're about, as well as what you're seeking to do as a leader in those businesses?
Sure. So I am the co-founder and CEO of Radish Systems, and it is a software company that helps improve telephone calls. It transforms customer care and sales and technical support that's done on the phone by sharing visual information as easily as making that phone call. And so we're working in that business, Radish Systems, to transform and communications and make it much, much easier for people to get things done.
That's great.
With my other business, which is my consulting business, Technology and Management Solutions, I help individuals and companies grow through strategic planning work and especially through strategic marketing. And it's been a fun journey, and I'm learning as my clients are learning.
That's great. I love that. So what's the one thing you do every day to take a step towards that leadership vision for both of your companies? Because you are busy. You got a lot going on, and you're juggling a lot.
Yes. Thank you for asking. I use an approach for setting goals and managing them every day. So first I get clear on what I'm trying to achieve in a certain year, and then I back off and I say, so therefore, what do I need to do in a month? What do I need to do in a week? What do I need to do today to take steps towards that bigger vision? And so every day I will start first with gratitude for the day and for all the gifts and connections I've been given, and then really get clear of what goals I'm trying to achieve, and I actually even try to prioritize them. And with my teams, we do a daily huddle where we come together and in a short 10 to 12 minute stand up, we will review not only some key of accomplishments, maybe that's happened since yesterday, but also what are we going to do today to help us meet our goal for the week.
That's great. That's a lot of great strategies for how to really plan for what's ahead in, you know, moments and hours as well as days. I love that approach, especially the huddle. I like that imagery for sure.
Well, there is a great resource called Mastering the Rockefeller Habits by Vern Harnish, and there's actually a website called gazelles.com where there's a lot of information and free resources. And in my management consulting, I use many of the approaches used by fast growth companies, because with the right kind of process, you can accomplish in a quarter what others might take and do in a year. And the right kind of rhythm of communications, along with the right vision and plan, are key.
Yeah, I love that idea. I'm constantly, especially when we're looking at entrepreneurs, we're looking at small business owners, there's so much time that can be wasted or leaked in how they're doing their business, and they are spending hours upon hours trying to make their businesses go, and which isn't sustainable, and can really cause the first 3 years to be very painful years on kind of that entrepreneurial journey, and frankly, for business professionals that are in those higher stress management and executive positions, right? So I love that you're very intentional in teaching that, because I think it's a skill that so many of us really need.
And through my consulting effort, I actually run strategic planning efforts built on this approach and help companies and individuals set up a plan. And one of the pieces on that is, what are you going to say yes to? What are you going to say no to? Because you have to say no to many things in order to say yes to the right things.
I love that. That, because it's so intentional, right? You have to say no to a lot of things, which is really hard for a lot of us.
Yep.
In order to say yes. Ooh, I love that. So I'd love to take you a little bit into your own personal leadership journey. Is there a moment that you can talk about that where you were faced with failure along your own journey that you'd be willing to share? Because from my perspective, I'm kind of on a mission where I'm having leaders talk more about some of those bumps in the road, because those, from my perspective, are the place that we're growing and that we're stretching and that we're learning the most from, and it's something that we don't share as often as we need to. So I'd love it if you could tell us about just one moment where you may have experienced failure in your own journey.
Okay. Well, and I think you're wise in asking that question, because adversity or the hard times is where we can learn the most. When I interviewed on my Pursuit of Passionate Purpose research project 80 leaders from all walks of life, Karen Bernardi, one of the super realtors in the country, shared about how adversity was the thing that turned her life around. And so, but we don't talk about failure much. So I'll tell you, after I had left this big telecommunications company where I was climbing the corporate ladder and trying to achieve a lot, I had decided to pursue the entrepreneurial dream. And we founded, with my co-founder, Radish Systems. And it was in the same space of voice and visual communications as my current company, Radish 2.0. But Radish 1.0 was started in the 90s and was doing voice and visual communications over landlines. And I believe that the only failure is not to try. So indeed, you know, we started, we got going, We were pursuing it, and indeed there were many challenges along the way. And it turns out that we had gotten to a point where we had understood the market. We brought out a product, raised some money, built a team. We were beginning to sell, and we realized that it wasn't growing fast enough. We needed to make some changes. And so luckily we had surrounding us some very smart people. I think you always want to make sure you have the right people on the bus and they're before you know which direction you're going. But they helped us realign our strategy so we could go in the right direction, which could really help us take off. And that helped us, instead of having a proprietary software solution, open our protocol, and we started licensing it to Microsoft. They embedded our software into the Windows operating system. We, through them, were able to attract strategic coalition partners, Intel, Rockwell, AT&T, and we were going in a good direction because we made some changes, strategic changes. I found, however, in the process of making those changes, I was no longer able to contribute to my fullest. I felt that some of the people who were there were not living true to some of our highest core values. And the others in the company at the top, I was no longer CEO at that time, and our investors didn't agree with me. So I had this tension, this conflict. And so it turns out that prior to us selling the company, I made the decision to leave Radish 1.0, and it was a very difficult time. It was a time when I had to let go, which was a great learning lesson for me. And the company survived without me, believe it or not. It went on. My co-founder, Richard A. Davis, the rad of Radish, was there. But we sold the company, had a good exit. And I found that in letting go of one thing, which was my first baby, Radish, I was able to then open up and attract my real baby. I had been trying to get pregnant, couldn't in that stressful environment, and was able to, after I left, get on a different path and started my consulting firm. But it felt like a failure when I had to leave. And then it was through my research, talking to Jim Collins, the author of Good to Great, where he said that if you maintain integrity of effort and do live true to your own high convictions, even if you don't achieve the goal, which was for me to, of course, be part of the company in the long term, you are not a failure. He called that fallure rather than failure. So I learned from from this experience that when one door closes, others open, and that indeed, if you look at it correctly, it's not failure if you maintain your integrity of effort and do everything you possibly can to make it happen.
There's so much great stuff in there, right? Some great advice, and the story was beautiful. And, you know, another piece I took from it is, you know, in order to grow in so many ways, you do have to kind of let go of some of the things that we think we really want. In your case, you know, Radish 1.0 allowed you then to move into a space where you could grow your family, you can grow another business. You've had, you know, a different Radish 2.0 that's emerged. None of that would have been possible if you would have been on the same path in the first company.
Exactly, and I think that's good for all of us to realize that life is a journey. And there are different things that happen along the way. We may not know what is behind the next door. And so sometimes we just have to be kind to ourselves, realize that other experiences will come, and just be open to that.
Right, that's great. And so we've talked a little bit about what was kind of a low point for you in realizing that the first company wasn't going to be something that you were taking forward for a long period of time, and that that wasn't the place where you needed to be. I'm curious, what have been some of the high points or pivotal points in your journey?
Well, there have been many. I think about after I left this large company with the plan to start the entrepreneurial venture, so I moved from the career plan to where I was going to, as I call it, start the business plan. But along the way, I decided I needed to have some more education, so I pursued the education plan, finishing my MBA and then my PhD. And after I finished the PhD, I envisioned myself standing at the top of this mountain. You know, here we are in Colorado, sort of at the summit. I was feeling on top of the world, but yet I looked around and I saw the other mountains, the other peaks, and I asked myself, so what is next? What is the next part of your journey? And indeed, went on to start Radish One and selling it, growing it, setting the vision, believing in it, and then ultimately selling it was a real high point. So, you know, you ask, you know, have I made it, or have there been I've made it moments? You know, there have been, and rightly so, certain elements that, yes, you know, oh, I sold the company, or yes, you know, I finished the PhD, or yes, I delivered on this wonderful baby, which was, for me, took every intervention known to man and woman to come about. But yet there's more of those I made it moments coming.
I love that. I love that. And so how has that really shaped the way that you've shown up as a leader through your life, you know, both the good and, you know, and some of the challenges? How has that shaped how you've been able to go forward and inspire others?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've taken a serious look from all of my experiences and learnings, and I put together this pursuit of passionate purpose process that I've used and others have used, forgetting all that we want in life. And I've used it as the basis for my leadership approach. And so let me tell you a little bit about this, because I think it can be very helpful for our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
What I did, people after we sold Radish One kept asking me, you know, how did you do it? What made it successful? And so at first I was going to write my story, but I realized there was a lot of other wisdom out there. So I interviewed about 80 people from all walks of life and came up with this practical formula based on what I call the 2-4-6 rule. And the two is that there's a process and success strategies, and there's a 4-stage process. It starts with getting to know and nurturing yourself. Here's where you find your passion and at the intersection of your values and your gifts. Then you align that passion with a purpose that can make a meaningful difference in the world. Then next, you pursue it with all your heart, with all your soul, persistently, until you get to the point where you assess progress. You can tell I like P words. And at this point, you look at where you're at and where you want to go, and you may find that there are some adjustments you want to make along the way, or you want to maintain the same approach, but at that point, you can reaffirm your passion and purpose and continue on the journey with other people, with a plan, persistently. So that's the 4-stage process, and it's explained at my website, pursuitofpassionatepurpose.com, and in my book by the same name, which is available at that website and Amazon and other places. The 6, the 2-4-6 rule. So the 6 talks about 6 success strategies that encourage movement on the journey. And I've used this approach in my business life, in my personal life, in my nonprofit world life. And basically, there's perhaps not time to go into all 6 of them here, but one piece is packing for the journey. And that is, what are you going to bring in your briefcase or in your backpack, and what are you going to unpack? And it's interesting, I interviewed people, some very successful people, and I said, well, what are you going to unpack? And they, many of them said, self-doubt. And so even the most successful people are confronted with sort of these gremlins sometimes of self-doubt. But there's this pack strategy. Another is the connection strategy. Which people are you going to bring along on the journey with you? These may be your coworkers, they may be your intimates, they may be your mentors. Important decisions on the connections, because it could be, first of all, a connection to yourself. Secondly, a connection to other people. And third, it's connection to the greater world. It could be God or the universe, whatever works for you that brings you that connection.
That's great. There's so much in there. So I hope, and we'll mention it again at the end, for sure, so that they can go to the website and really check out all that that program encompasses, because there's so many important pieces. And to follow up on that, I'm curious, a lot of people in terms of, you know, passion and purpose today, a lot of people have gone after their passion, right? And they've worked really hard at it, and they haven't seen the success, or there's been critics around them that say, that tell them that you can't be successful and really and pursue what you're passionate about. So tell us why this approach is so important in order to be a successful and relevant leader from your perspective.
Okay, good question there. You know, it takes courage to pursue a path which combines passion and purpose. And it may not be something that everybody can do full-time. I'd say there's part-time passions, and you might be able to pursue this in your volunteer work or part-time at night. You may, for many reasons, have a full-time job that's you're pursuing that's different than your other passionate purpose. And so I like to tell, like to encourage people to start with inquiry, you know, looking deep inside and also getting inputs from others that surround you. And I use sort of, like there's a 4-stage process, I sort of use 4 pointers from my years of developing peak performing organizations and individuals on how to create and maintain a passionate workforce. And because passionate employees are more productive, they're creative, and they stay, and they bring great results both to a company and to themselves. And so one thing I look at is, how can you as a leader provide meaningful work? Ask your employees what they value. See, the leader's job is to place people in positions that allow them to work their passions in line with the organizational purpose. You know, consider Ball Aerospace and Technology Corporation, which was a $500 million fast-growing firm with almost no turnover. You know, I talked to Don Van Landingham, who was the former chairman and CEO, and he talked about how Ball Aerospace combines meaningful work with people's passion. He said a lot of our people would work if you didn't pay them. They love what they're doing so much. So in your volunteer work or in your full-time work, ask what brings meaning. Next, as a leader, give choice. Leaders allow people, where possible, to be involved in the decision-making. You know, when there is a high level of flexibility and people are driving the effort, there is more intrinsic motivation. I think of Tom Chappell here, the founder of Toms of Maine, who I also interviewed. He says empowering his employees and involving them in a creative talking circle is extremely helpful, and that is where they can help create the future. So give people choice. Third, confirm competency. You know, use a positive feedback loop to build employees' self-confidence and feeling of proficiency. You know, the leader's job is to provide feedback that performance standards are being met, and they get a sense of competency. And so Richard Connolly, a blacksmith who gets into a creative flow and watches his work emerge, shares that the feeling I get when I work encourages me. I also am supported by seeing my day's effort and the finished product. And then fourth, recognize progress. Tell others what progress you see. You know, forward movement encourages continued effort. And leaders need to establish a tracking and instant feedback system so your people and you can say, yeah, we're making progress. And Jim Collins talks about tracking his team's progress on large projects by moving a tag on a U.S. wall map using the metaphor of a journey across the country. And so, you know, these four tips for creating, you know, passionate workforces or yourself, you know, really align with the four stages of the pursuit of passionate purpose process: meaningfulness, choice, competency, and progress.
Some great stuff there for sure. Thank you for sharing that. Now, all right, Teresa, we've reached the what I'm calling the lightning round, where I will provide you with a series of questions, and then you get to come back at us with amazing and mind-blowing answers. Are you ready?
Okay.
So your first question, what was holding you back from becoming a leader?
I think my inability to let go. For example, delegating is so important. And so in the pursuit of passionate purpose, one of the success strategies is allowing. And how can we allow in order to then have other things emerge?
That's great. And what is the best advice you've ever received?
Oh, there's been so much advice along the way. I strongly recommend this book by Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. In there, Dale Carnegie gives so many great tips about using a person's first name. I mean, something practical, and recognizing all people in the organization, not only the receptionist, but the executive. So I highly recommend that as a place for great advice, because people and relationships with your people are ultimately are going to make you a great leader and make you and your team most successful.
Great. What one personal habit do you believe contributes to your success?
Meditation. I am a long-term meditator. I've been doing it twice a day, every day for about 40 years. I started very early, and this allows me to get centered, to calm myself, but also to generate energy, which can be then directed towards the goals that I'm working towards. So having a way to get quiet, and then and some people do it through when they're walking in nature. Others do it with prayer, but I use insight meditation, and in my book there's a whole chapter at the end about some guided meditations about how to get started on this.
Great. And what internet resource that you're in love with would you like to share with our listeners today?
Okay, well, one is at the gazelles.com website. Go to the free resources tab and see the one page plan. I recommend this, and this is for businesses as well as for individuals and families. Does your family have a plan? Do you know what your core values are? Why not? So that's a great resource. And the other resource that I find is a sales pipeline spreadsheet. And if people go to my www.radishsystems.com website and leave me a comment that you want the pipeline tool, I will send it to you. I have found that you can have the best product and the best people in the world. You can bring it out to the market, but if you don't translate it into some sales, your entrepreneurial venture is going to fail. And so sales, which is one of the things I also do some consulting on, is so key. And I think the sales pipeline has been a great tool for me and for others.
Those are tremendous. And so, listeners, if you're just joining us now, I'm interviewing Teresa Cezurek. She just gave us some great resources, and I'd love it if she would share those again, both, you know, her resource around passion and purpose and the sales pipeline. So if you can give us that again and where they can find it, that would be great.
Sure. So this is Teresa Cezurek, and if you go to my website, pursuitofpassionatepurpose.com, you can sign up for my complimentary monthly newsletter, which has all sorts of guidance that can help you along life's journey. The next is to go to radishsystems.com, leave me a comment that you want the sales pipeline tool, and then the third is to go to gazelles.com and find the one-page plan and use it.
So, listeners, you can find links to this, to these resources and everything else that we've been talking about in today's interview by going to developsolutions.com/leadershipsummit. Again, that's dvlpsolutions.com/leadershipsummit. Teresa, what a pleasure it's been today talking to you, getting all of these amazing resources, hearing about your journey, your stories, about everything that's been inspiring you. Thank you so much for this. We really, really appreciate it. You have so many great tips that people can put into action right away.
Well, thank you for having me. And my advice in closing to our listeners is it's your choice. It's your choice to have a good life or a great life. Life is short. Follow your heart along with your head, but begin now.
I love that. Thank you so much. And please tell them how they can find you. If they want to learn more about you, if they want to reach out to you, how can they do that?
Go to radishsystems.com, leave me a message. Go to pursuitofpassionatepurpose.com, leave me a message. Or you can go to my consulting website, tmsworld.com. Lots of great resources for you there, and I would love to hear from you. Send me your questions and comments. Here's Teresa Cezurek, I guess, signing off with Jen Olson.
Thank you again, Teresa, so much for your generosity, for your time, for your experience. You've given so much great stuff that listeners are just going to love to take these tips and implement them right away so that they can be more passionate, more purposeful, and really, you know, increase their productivity and success every single day. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Now, again, for our listeners out there, you can find links to this resource and everything else we've been talking about in today's interview by going to developsolutions.com/leadershipsummit. And while you're there, Teresa said, we'd really love to hear from you. Tell us what you loved about today's interview and ask any questions that you're dying to know. I'll make sure that we get to Teresa and we'll answer your questions. And so with that, we say goodbye for now. Go out and be the leader you were meant to be. This is Jennifer Olson, and we'll catch you next time.